Welcome, podcast listeners from Medical Education. I'm sitting in sunny Washington during the AAMC meeting in November 2010. And joining me today is Tony Artino, assistant professor in the Department of Preventive Medicine and Biometrics from Uniformed Services, University of Health Sciences. And Tony graciously agreed to sit with me and chat about the paper that he has coming out in the December issue of Medical Education called Second-Year Medical Students, Motivational Beliefs, Emotions, and Achievements. First of all, thanks for making the time. I know this is a busy meeting, and given that we're in your hometown, you're quite busy with your other commitments, but I was quite impressed by your paper and wanted to get a chance to share some of your ideas with some of the people who've been listening to this
great.
Podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be here. We're definitely honored.
Cool. So as you can probably tell from the title, the focus of the article is on motivations and emotions and how those things interrelate with achievements. And so I guess, Tony, I'd first ask you to share with our listeners what got you interested in this topic in the first place and why you chose to prioritize this as an area of research.
Great. Well, I should say up front that I'm an educational psychologist by training, so I've always had an interest in understanding motivation and emotion and how those personal factors might influence learning and performance. And then secondly is there's sort of been a move in the broader educational psychology literature to explore, in particular, emotions and how they relate to outcomes. If there's one thing that's sort of been not covered in detail in cognitive and many social cognitive theories of learning is motivation. Probably with one exception, the major exception being the work that's been done in test anxiety. So there's just not been a lot of work, and so there's been a recent call for more work in that area. And then finally, actually recently, we've kind of looked at the medical education literature, and there's been a little bit in the literature looking at the benefits and potential drawbacks of emotional manipulation in the context of medical education in the classroom and in the clinic. So we sort of thought it was a good time to try to understand how those factors might interrelate and if there is an influence on outcomes.
It's ironic given that at least at an intuitive level, it's got to be the case that motivation is a fundamental determinant of what keeps somebody at the task long enough to become skilled in the area.
Right.
And I think it's likely an underrepresented aspect of many models of expertise that are commonly present in the literature.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think in how do you define motivation? It's been defined a lot of different ways. There's certainly areas in the ed psych literature looks at motivation and goals and achievement goal theory. But I think the piece that's really been missing, and it's, again, how do you define it, is the emotional piece. Moods, emotion, affect. And I think, like you said, intuitively, we know that those things are important. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not a computer that just simply takes data, stores mm-hmm. it, and spits it out later. So we know that those things are important. They just haven't been studied systematically, especially the emotion piece. In various contexts.
I would imagine that one of the reasons for that is that these are constructs that are hard to measure, they're hard
right.
to hold on to, and
right.
be confident that you've got the data you need to make strong claims. How did you try to deal with those issues?
Well, so that's a great point. It's really a lot of it's a measurement issue. It's a hard thing to wrap to first define and then to operationalize. We used a theory that's fairly well established, control value theory, and the way they defined achievement emotions are these are emotions that are the discrete emotions. So it's not a general negative affect. It's anxiety associated with a task, a learning task, or boredom associated with a classroom, or enjoyment that might be associated with a very interesting lecture. And then the way the theory goes is you can assess that with a simple self-report, asking people in relation to this context or this task, how bored were you? How much did you enjoy it? How frustrated were you? But that's just one way. You can do it with diaries. You can do it with physiological measures. We did it with a simple self-report, but we did it longitudinally because the theory that we use says that certain motivational beliefs influence your emotions, which then influence outcomes. So it's an appraisal theory. You appraise the situation based on its value to you and the extent to which you're confident you can do well. You experience some emotions, and then you have an outcome. Hmm. So in our study, we measured it longitudinally. We asked people about their motivational beliefs early in the course, and then in the middle of the course, we asked them, how much did you enjoy the course? How much were you bored? How much were you anxious? And then later, we had our outcomes, and we build the structural model to see how those things relate.
And is there typically consistency across those things, or do you find there was quite dynamic change as you went across the longitudinal design?
Well, because of the problem we always have with medical education is it's a very homogenous group. So by and large, this is a very high-functioning group of students. Their motivational beliefs, if you will, are all very adaptive. They're all very high. It's a negatively skewed distribution. We do see some range in their emotions, but again, it's fairly tightly distributed. Mm-hmm. So it's not all that dynamic, at least the way we measured it. Now you can imagine that someone's anxiety may change in the course of a given course. You're not just anxious in this course, you're anxious when you do X activity. So
when the midterm's looming.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. So you can imagine if we measured it then, it would be different. We measured it after they took their exams to try to not have an influence of an upcoming exam.
Mm-hmm.
But that granularity, again, it goes back to the measurement problem. Is what's the granularity that you want to get? Is it at the course level? How do you feel about the course? Is it an activity in the course?
Mm-hmm.
We operationalized at the course level. And the course was an introduction to clinical reasoning course for second year students.
Okay.
And we're looking in the future to maybe get down at a lower level, not just a course level, but what about a specific activity in a course?
Right. Okay. And there's a lot of very interesting data in the paper, and you've illustrated the models that you came up with, and they're fit. If I were to ask you to boil it down to the key finding, what do you think is the most important thing you'd like people to remember from this paper?
So, yeah, I think that the thing that we found that was, again, not surprising, it corroborated the theory that we were using, was that students who found the course interesting, important, and useful enjoyed the course more. They reported greater enjoyment, and they were less bored. No surprise there. And then students who were confident, who felt that they could perform well in the course, were much less anxious in the course. And then if we take those things together, we found that those motivational beliefs and those emotions combined explained about 20% of the variance in the performance outcomes. And we used the grade in the course as an outcome, and we also used scores on a national board exam.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were impressed that we could explain a relatively decent effect size with those beliefs and emotions. And so the take-home message for us is, well, it's safe to say that this is really a first step for us in understanding how these factors relate. But we think that simply becoming aware that, you know, motivation and emotion do influence learning. And so to become aware of that, both as a student and as an instructor, and we think about learning climate and helping to improve learning simply by addressing those issues. And so we're not at the point where we can make recommendations, I don't think, in the classroom. We need more work.
Okay.
But at this point, it's understanding that, yes, medical students are high-functioning, but they are not immune to the negative influence of some of these negative emotions like anxiety and boredom.
Right. And you alluded to the additional work that's
right.
The ubiquitous final statement of all
research
papers.
Right.
What do you see as being the key priorities, given that I imagine you could take this any number of directions at this
right.
point?
Well, our group is taking it in a couple different directions. The first direction is we want to measure it across the medical education continuum. So the question is, to what extent do we develop students more broadly, their self-regulated learning or their motivations and beliefs, whatever you want to call it, across from first year and on into residency. So we want to measure their motivations and emotions across that continuum. But the key piece is in relation to what? Because we can't really ask them about a course. I can't compare a first-year student to a fourth-year student based on a course because the courses are different. So what we're going to try to do is attach it to the learning objectives, the medical school and learning objectives. So, for example, how confident are you that you can develop an appropriate differential diagnosis? How anxious do you get when you consider developing an appropriate clinical diagnosis? So that's sort of the thing that we're going to anchor our survey to and then see if and how it changes. You would imagine that I would hope that a first-year student wouldn't be quite as confident as a fourth-year student, but that's yet to be determined. And then the second thing we want to do is sort of get down at that granularity that I talked about. So instead of asking about a course, look at specific activities within a course, and we develop this thing we call the self-regulated learning microanalytic technique, which is essentially a think-aloud. It's a focused think-aloud where we have questions, and we ask students both before, during, and after an activity how they're thinking, feeling, and doing. What activities are they doing in the context of that activity? So we would expect that high-performing students would have more adaptive motivations, more adaptive emotions, and would be more strategic in their learning, whereas low-performing students would be just the opposite. And so we're looking to do that. We've got a little bit of grant money to take a look at that and develop this new protocol, zooming in on the problem a little bit.
Right. It's a very interesting line of research, and I've heard bits and pieces of it from Tony and some of his collaborators, and so I'm quite looking forward to seeing how this evolves and what findings come out of those next phases.
Great.
So congratulations on the paper. Again, for those of you who are listening, this has been Tony Artino that I've been speaking with from Uniformed Services University, and the paper we've been talking about will be out in the December issues, and we'll talk with you all again.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for the invitation.